Well, Ken Wyatt is the Federal Minister for Aged Care and Indigenous Health, and he joined me from our Canberra studio a short while ago. The National Congress of Australia's First Peoples says this is disturbing news. Can you confirm that Cabinet has rejected this proposal for an Indigenous advisory body to Parliament?
The Prime Minister has made a statement in respect to a voice not being enshrined in the Constitution, but he has not walked away from constitutional recognition nor having a voice that government listens to.
What does that mean in practical terms, Minister? Because there's a very specific formulation in the Uluru Statement. Does the government still commit to that formula?
Look at it. In my discussions with the Prime Minister, he acknowledges that many of the matters that are contained within the report are significant issues to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and he wants to address them. But his concern is that if you take this to a referendum, then it fails. But he also expresses the view that having another chamber is not within the remit of the thinking of the federal government.
Can I take you to the first point you make there? Is it not the case that this is a matter for political leadership? Concern about failure at a referendum is a given. This is a matter of a leader taking the argument to the population, surely, particularly in this case, given that you've got Labor backing for this idea. Is this not a case of cowardice?
No, it's not. It's far from it. It's a pragmatic level of thinking about the reality of what will fly with the Australian people and what won't. Now, recognition within the Constitution was and is supported by many Australians, and that has been a very strong message. When the Uluru Statement was released, some of our significant leaders across this nation made comments about the voice within the Constitution. So the Prime Minister hasn't shown cowardly behaviour. In fact, he's shown strong leadership, and there will be a way in which he will work to make sure that we achieve recognition, but equally for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to have a voice. And I know that he acknowledges that within the Parliament there are five Indigenous Australians. Now, whilst we're a voice for our electorates, but we do bring our experiences that we use to influence the thinking, but we don't represent an Aboriginal constituent per se. And look, I've always been a strong believer of having Aboriginal voices in key fields of work that is important. For example, education, in health, I have Nacho, who give me very good advice on directions in Aboriginal health. And that's a body that I would never remove. And this is what our people are saying, because what concerns them is previous governments have abolished structures that were in place in which there were strong voices that had a differing position to government, and they were challenging governments of the day
nonetheless,
were abolished.
Nonetheless, Minister, this process, as we've been hearing in the program earlier, recalling the process at Uluru, which was emotional, it was fraught, there were differences, but it was Indigenous-led after a very long, as you're very well aware, process of consultation around the country. Is this not a case of a government pushing an Indigenous decision-making process aside?
It's a balancing of the reality of what is achievable. But equally, I could point to the fact that there was a process that was important. There were terms of reference. But a model that came back was a new model, and there has to be debate about that new model. As Senator Vanstone, in the dissenting component of the report, said this is a new model that has to be kicked down the road and people discuss it. And there hasn't been that breadth of discussion.
Minister,
the government was handed a report that had no sense of any other issue other than a fait accompli.
Ken Wyatt, the Federal Minister for Aged Care and Indigenous Health, speaking to me earlier.